Welcome to the AquariMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 45, recorded January 18th, 2011. Hello, everyone. It's time for AquariMax again. Kelly is not with us tonight. She'll be back next time, but she is gone and unavailable right now. So I will have to fly solo. I do have some exciting news. For one, AquariMax is on Facebook, so please check us out. You can go to AquariMax.com and scroll down the sidebar a little bit, and you'll see a link to AquariMax on Facebook, or you can just go to Facebook and search for AquariMax and find us. We're also on Twitter. So if you're a Facebooker or a Twitterer, then please join us there. And if you are on Facebook, make sure to like us and share us if you'd like to help us out. We're trying to spread the word about AquariMax, and anything you do can help make a difference there. We've also got some other good news. I'm not going to spill all the beans yet, but we've got some special guests coming up in the near future that we're lining up. So we've got at least two lined up, and if you have ideas for guests that you'd like to hear or certain topics that you'd like to hear guests speak on, then let us know. But those are in the works as well. Thank you to both Brian and Brady for your emails. Some of those issues that you brought up will be discussing today, and some we'll be saving for a future podcast, but we do appreciate your emails. If we don't get to everything right now, just bear in mind that it's coming. There are a lot of things going on right now, so we're just excited that you're emailing us. Please keep doing that, and all of your contributions are most welcome. Now, the next thing we need to talk about today, we're going to do the review of the Everclean Aqua System. So let me start out. I know you've heard about this a little bit before, but we're doing the full review today. So Joe of EvercleanAqua.com was kind enough to send me a model EP12-30 of the Everclean Aqua System for review. That was in, I think it was late November, when I contacted him initially, interested in the product, and he offered to send that to me after we had conversed a bit by email. And I set it up on December 9th of last year, so it's been a little over a month since I set it up. And the tank that I set it up is in a 37-gallon high aquarium. Now, this aquarium is kind of a strange dimension, I guess. It's a really high aquarium. It has the same footprint as a 20-gallon long or a 29-gallon, but it's just taller. Kind of a strange dimension, but that's what I ended up getting. I didn't actually choose it. Somebody else chose it for me, but I didn't complain because it's what I got when I arrived off the plane in Hawaii. I had to have something for my fish that had just been shipped to me. Actually, the fish arrived before I did from Hawaii. So I needed something, and that's what was there for one of the tanks. So it was a 37-gallon high. That's what I got. Anyway, that was a tangent. Let's get back to what I was talking about. There were three goldfish, a bristlenose placo, several big patches of anubias, and a few shrimp. There were some amano shrimp in there and some red cherry shrimp. So let's, now that you have the background of what it was going into, let's talk about some items. I'm going to do with the five-star system for a couple of the characteristics. And for ease of setup of the ECAS, or Everclean Aqua System, I give it a 3 out of 5. We timed the setup, and bear in mind that this was a tank that already had fish and a setup in it. It took an hour from the time we opened the box until the filter was running. So it's more time consuming than most of the plug and play hang on the back filters on the market. It would have taken less time if we had done this in a dry tank. Now that's often the advisable way to do a filter, but it's nice with some filters just to be able to, you know, put them together in 5 minutes or less. But when you're adding this to an existing water-filled tank, it takes a little bit longer. But the instructions that were provided were reasonably clear. They contained some helpful diagrams. A little more detail could have been nice, but it wasn't bad at all. It was certainly sufficient for what I needed. Now, one thing, the way this works, the Everclean Aqua system has plates that are a little bit like undergravel filter plates in appearance. Now, in their function, they're not really anything at all the same. But these plates, you need to set them down on the bottom of the tank. You need to connect the plates first, and then put them at the bottom of the tank. And so I prepared to do that. I had already removed all the substrate from the tank prior to doing this, knowing that I'd need to do that. So that wasn't too bad, getting them together and getting them into the tank. But one thing to note is that the bioplates float. So that's one of the main reasons that I would recommend setting this up in a dry tank if you have the option, because you can imagine that it was a little tricky setting these plates down and then having them try to float back up. So I had to weigh them down, and I didn't have gravel in the tank yet, so I used some, you know, pieces of driftwood and aquarium decorations and so on to weigh them down before I went any further. So just be ready for that. Now, I didn't put gravel in the tank, actually, for several days, but I'm going to talk about gravel now. I just basically weighed down these plates, but I'm going to mention the gravel now. The gravel particles need to be larger than a quarter inch in diameter, and this is because the bioplate has small holes in it that the gravel could go through if it were smaller than that. And so I went and purchased a big bag of gravel from the pet store, the large bore gravel with the bigger particle sizes. This was the issue, though. This gravel also had smaller particle sizes in it, so I had to fish through the gravel and work with that. Now, that's not a problem with the Everclean Aqua Filter, but it is a problem with... You may have a hard time finding gravel of the right size unless you have a source. I went to a fish-specific store, and that's the best I found, and I had to go through it and take the small pieces out. Okay? Now, one thing I wish I had done, and I had to take care of it later, was scoot the bioplates all the way up against the back glass before I added the gravel, because what ended up happening is that I added some gravel and some of it fell behind, and then I couldn't scoot it back far enough, and I had to work it out so that I could, because otherwise the bioplates will be visible from the front of the tank unless you cover them completely with gravel. So scoot it up against the back of the tank and then put gravel in the tank so that you can let the gravel fall into the front, in front of the bioplates. Now, I did ask Joe about putting gravel on the sides in front of the filter, and he said the filter is intended to do that. It works just fine if you put it all the way in the front and the back and the sides, even if the filter doesn't completely cover the bottom of the tank, so that's not a big issue. You can cover it with gravel. Joe also mentions that you can put enough gravel in varying depths on top of the filter plate if you'd like to, or not the filter plate, the bioplate, if you'd like to. And if it's in a deeper area of gravel, the detritus will take longer to work through, but it'll eventually do it. I chose to keep a fairly thin layer of gravel because I have goldfish, for one reason, and because it would be expensive to get all that gravel, so I put a fairly thin layer on. Now, excuse me, we'll move on to ease of maintenance now. That's, of course, a prime consideration, and one of the main reasons why you would want to get a new filter is of ease of maintenance. Well, I give, so far, now I've only had it a month, so I can't say, you know, what it'll be like in 3 months or 6 months or 2 years, but so far the ease of maintenance for this filter is a 5 out of 5 stars. The filter is extremely easy to service. There are two power heads that are plugged in, so you unplug, or not power heads really, pumps I guess would be a better term for them. You take the two pumps, you unplug them, and then you go to the hang on the back portion of the filter. You take off the lid, turn it upside down, and you take out the nested media boxes. There's two of them in there. You take them both out and set them on top of the overturned lid, which is a tray now, and that prevents it dripping on your way to the sink or on the way to a hose or a drain or wherever you're going to clean it out, your fish bucket. Whatever you're going, or wherever you're going, that tray keeps it from dripping, which I think is really nice. Most filters don't take that into account. When you're supposed to change a filter pad or something, they expect you to find your own mechanism for doing that, but it's really nice that this filter includes one. I like that. Now, then you go to the sink or whatever, your hose, rinse the filter pads thoroughly, you replace the trays and the lid in the hang-on-back box of the filter, and you plug the pumps back in. I think that's really easy and nice. It only takes a really short time. In my case, it's quite close to the kitchen. It's about 12 steps away, so I can do it in a matter of seconds. And one really nice thing about the design of the filter is that all biofiltration that's happening with the filter occurs before this step. So there isn't biofiltration. I mean, there's bacteria undoubtedly growing in those pads, but the main biofiltration is not supposed to be occurring there. And so you're not causing any disturbance to the bulk of the biofiltration occurring in your tank if you rinse that every day in chlorinated water. I love that. That's a great thing about the filter. Now, you can see how this works on the EverClean Aqua website and on the podcast resources page for episode 45, this episode. I will embed links to those videos again. It shows someone doing this maintenance regime on the filter, shows how it works, and it also has some demo videos, so you can see actually how it works. Now, as far as vacuuming the gravel is concerned with maintenance, I know this sounds crazy, and maybe it is, but so far it looks like this filter actually makes it unnecessary. Now, Brian asked about this and said that seems really crazy, that the gravel will become encrusted or something, and you know, maybe it will on down the line. That's possible. But so far, when I try to vacuum through the gravel and put my Python straight on the bioplate, only a very, very few particles come up, and from what I can tell, they seem to be ones that are just sticking to the gravel that I knocked loose. Nothing comes out from underneath there, from under the filter plates. Not like a under gravel filter where you put that down there and it sucks up all kinds of gunk and it's disgusting, as those of you who kept under gravel filters in the past, or those of you who may do so now. And we're not talking reverse flow under gravel filters, of course. We're just talking the normal classic airlift under gravel filters. Those are a little different. But it's difficult to see how it could come caked there. I do have a very thin layer of gravel, as I mentioned, and that may be a factor. You can actually see a bit of the plate showing through in some areas. But there's a lot of flow going around the gravel, so I don't think the gravel particles could cake. The current comes from under the plate and actually draws free particles actively down, kind of like an under gravel filter does, but more powerfully, down under the bioplate. And then there's a series of tubes, and with the pumps, it causes a current that drags everything, in my case at least, drags everything from the right side of the tank or anywhere towards the left from there, all towards the left of the tank. And then it's drawn up by the other pump into the hang-on-the-back portion of the filter. And I've found some interesting things in the hang-on-back portion of the filter sitting on the filter floss. I found young snails. I found goldfish eggs. And goldfish eggs, as you know, probably are adhesive. And despite the fact that they're adhesive, I've found them in there. So it's doing a good job at pulling things up and out of the water and from under there. I found all kinds of detritus, bits of leaves from the plants and so on. So bits of vegetable food that I put in there that the fish miss, it just all ends up in there. Some of it sucks directly from the water column from one of the pumps, but the rest of it goes through that bioplate. And now we're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
This isn't a commercial, because it's not trying to sell you anything. It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. There. That wasn't so painful now, was it?
Okay, well, now we're back, and we'll keep talking about the Everclean Aqua system. Now, as we were saying, I find all kinds of things that get sucked up into the hang-on-back portion of the filter, and I really don't know how anything's ending up under there, but we'll see. What I think would be great is if Joe were to put on his website a shot of a video of from under the tank. Do you know what I mean? You get one of the types of stands that's got an open inside so that you can look from under the stand directly into the bottom of the tank and light that and get a video of an Everclean Aqua system that's been working for several months so you can see what kind of detritus is down there, if any. I think that would be a really nice way to do it. If I had a stand like that, I would totally do that, but unfortunately, I don't have a stand like that at present. Probably couldn't do that on a very large tank. I think most larger tanks don't have stands like that, but I have owned stands like that in the past. I guess you could use a cast iron stand or a wrought iron stand, whatever they're called. Get a wrought iron stand for a fairly large tank and do that. So, Joe, if you're listening, please consider doing that and putting a video up. Or if any of you listeners are interested and you get an ECAS and you want to try that out, that would be interesting to see too. One of Brian's questions was how would it compare to a power head with a pre-filter, and also how would it compare to a reverse flow undergravel filter? Well, I think compared to a power head with a pre-filter, it's much less prone to clogging because there's a lot more surface area, or effective surface area on the hang-on back portion of the ECAS. But, you know, I haven't done any empirical studies on it, of course, but that would be my impression. It is similar in some ways to a reverse flow undergravel filter, which, for those of you who may not know, basically, instead of using air lift to draw materials with a gentle current down through the gravel to be trapped under the plate with lift tubes in the corners of the tank, you do the opposite. You put power heads that direct water from the water column down through the tubes, down up, down under the undergravel filter plates, and then pushing the water through those plates and then through the gravel back up into the water column. And this is usually used in conjunction with a hang-on-the-back filter or a canister filter or something, so that any detritus that ends up down under the gravel doesn't. Basically, and so it ends up in the water column where another filter can draw it out and catch it. And in some ways it's similar to that because you're getting it out, but instead of just pushing things up back through the gravel, it does draw things down into the gravel, but then it has a kind of a laminar flow where everything is drawn from the right of the tank towards the left, and then directed and focused towards this small point right under the pump on the left side, which then draws it up into the lift tube and up into the hang on the back filter. So that's the basic way it works differently. That active laminar flow that just takes care of everything. That's really, really well demonstrated visually on the YouTube videos that I'll put on the podcast resources page and that Joe has on his website as well at evercleanaqua.com. The appearance of the filter, I would give this probably a 3 out of 5 because the filter is somewhat more visible than other filters. Well, it depends on which kind of filter you're talking about, but it's more visible than some of the popular hang-on-the-back filters because there are the two pumps that are situated at the front of the tank. Now, a good thing is that they're black in color, And they can be fairly easily hidden with some aquascaping. You could put some rock work or something in front of it, or, you know, you could get creative and figure out something to put there. The flexible tube that leads from the pump on the left up to the hang on the back filter is kind of a light grayish color, so that is more difficult to hide, so you need to get a little creative with some plants or, you know, something like that. I imagine it could probably be replaced fairly easily with a black tube that would make it less conspicuous, or some other color of tube. But, you know, that's what it is. I have some ideas for improvement here. I would say on the model that I received, one of the pumps was producing too much flow for the size of the tank, and this caused kind of a lot of micro bubbles in the water initially, and this is kind of cleared up later. But it also, and this was more annoying, it caused an occasional drop of water to shoot out the other side of the filter box, the hang on the back part, because the hang on the back part is actually nicely put together in that it's reversible, so it's more adaptable to different tank setups. But there was a small hole because you need to be able to hook the tube to either side. And I contacted Joe at Everclean Aqua about this, and he quickly looked into it, talked to his engineers, and said they've corrected it because they're going to decrease the size of the pump for that size of tank, and they'll also be including an end cap. And I don't know what status they're in, but he said future models would have that in, or future kits would have that in it. So you might want to inquire before you purchase this if that has been done already. But he was very quick about finding a solution to that. And now let's talk about which tanks this filter is best suited for. I would say tanks with large messy fish such as goldfish or cichlids would be great. And I'm not limiting it to goldfish or cichlids. Any kind of marine tank. I didn't mean to say marine tank, although I'm sure this could work with a marine tank, but depending on the kind. I mean, you couldn't use it with reef sand, aragonite sand, for example, but certain marine setups would probably work. But what I meant to say was a community tank with any, you know, fairly large fish in a group, and you just want to keep the tank clean, so not necessarily just cichlids or goldfish. I have noticed fewer suspended particles in the tank than I did when I was running a BioWheel 220 and an AquaClear 60. I'm running the BioWheel right now, but without filter pads, just to make sure the biofiltration is okay for now, because it's still a little early, and I'll talk more about that in a little while. But the filter works fine with plants if, and this is an important if the plants are in pots or they're attached to driftwood. But you do have to make sure that the roots don't get down into the bioplate. Now, with my Anubias, that means I need to lift them up fairly often because they will send roots down into there. And if you have any plants in any kind of pot that the roots can get through, you'll need to be careful about that they don't work their way through the pot hole and down into the bioplate. You do need to rinse the filter pads frequently for nutrient export. That's the idea behind this. That instead of letting your detritus sit somewhere in the tank and decompose and contributing to nitrate buildup, that you're rinsing the filter pads out every day or every 3 days or something like that, depending on your setup. But Joe recommends every 1 to 3 days, and it's really easy and really quick. If you do that, that's how you get your nutrient export. So just make sure you're doing it frequently. I don't notice as much bacterial gunk in the filter box as I would expect with a lot of others, but of course I've only had it up for a month, so probably not as much would build up in that time as would later. This is also great in a tank where you want to keep, you know, a volume of fish and you want to keep them healthy, but you don't care about aquascaping. You just weigh down the bioplates with some rocks or something like that, and it keeps it really clean. So when water quality is the main issue, you can do that. But you can also, you know, keep it an aquascape tank. It's just not, I wouldn't recommend this filter for tanks with plant-specific substrate, because those, one, they tend to be too small and they go right through the bioplate, and plant root growth is not going to work with this filter. So just keep your plants in pots or on driftwood if you're going to do that. And of course, don't keep fish with little fry. Don't try to raise fry or hatch fry or anything. in here. You'd need fish with pretty huge fry to be able to survive this filter. Cichlids, of course, they'd get slurped up by it, and anything of comparable or smaller size. So in a nutshell, it's not for a fry tank. That's what I'm saying here. Let's see. A strange thing that I noticed is that even though I kept the BioWheel 220 running in the tank, I originally had a BioWheel 220 and an AquaClear 60, I think it is, in the tank, and I replaced the AquaClear 60 with the ECAS. Anyway, when I put the ECAS in, I kept the BioWheel running the entire time, but the tank started to cycle anyway, do a mini cycle, not a complete cycle, but a mini cycle, and I didn't expect that. And so I went and got some Prime and used that for several days until the mini cycle was complete, and now everything's fine. No fish losses, but I did have some stretched fish for a little while. I'm really wondering why that happened. It seems weird, but I guess the AquaClear 60 was carrying more of the bacterial load than I thought it was. It is the older filter in the tank, or was the older filter in the tank. So I guess that kind of makes sense, but I just expected the BioWheel to be handling more of the aerobic bacteria load, and so I was surprised a little bit by that. I'm still running the BioWheel 220 on there for now, just for biofiltration. Once the tank's been running long enough, I plan on taking that off, and I'm sure that the gravel and the bioplate will be offering sufficient surface area for the bacteria, but this is just for now. So the bottom line on the filter, it's not for every setup, but for setups without small fry or with plant-specific substrate, the filter seems to do what it promises to do. I've only been running it since December 9th, but so far I'm happy with its functionality, with, you know, the caveats that I mentioned. Take those into account. And if you'd like more information, check out the links on the podcast resource page for episode 45, that's this episode, or go to www.evercleanaqua.com. And if after you check it out and you've weighed the pros and cons, you decide to buy one, you can use the code E as in elephant, C as in capybara, 10002. That's EC10002. And then if you use that coupon, you'll get a $10 discount. And that some of that will actually go to help supporting Aquarimax. So if you want to, and that sounds like something that might work for you, then go check it out. And please remember to like us on Facebook. Go ahead. Do it right now. I'll wait. No, just kidding. I won't wait. But please do go ahead and do it. And that's about it for this week. So have a great week. And stay tuned. We have some fun stuff coming up. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.